Okay. Just going to have Louise share two things that are really, really cool. So listen carefully.
During the time of ministry, I felt like the Lord was speaking to people's identity in Him. And the picture was of two diamonds, and the one diamond was an unpolished stone, and then the other one was cut and polished. And I felt like He's polishing our identities because those diamonds still are the same value, they just look different. And the shift of we are that polished, refined diamond of great value to Him. And then the other picture I had was, I feel it's a prophetic word for our church. It was of people walking up to a well with their buckets and, you know, dropping the bucket and getting it filled with water. But I felt like the Lord is, and I know for me, just wanting to change my mind, my belief of inheritance, because there was like a rumbling noise of water starting to gush, and the well, like a geyser, just erupted and totally soaked us and filled us and refreshed us. And, you know, the thing is, we will always be satisfied in the Lord, but to know that it's not just a bucket's worth, it's a geyser full. And we saw people walking away and our wet footprints going into the community to bring others to come to this geyser of inheritance. Or geyser.
Geyser, 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 geyser.
Guys, I just want us to pay attention to something that when the Lord is speaking to us, we must develop a habit of not just hearing that word. We must develop a habit of hearing what God is saying to us consistently over a period of time. Over a period of time, number of years, God keeps revealing and saying to this church that we will be like an artesian well and a gushing geyser or geyser, an artesian well. The word that we had today, or Bridget, I think, part brought sometime, was expect the unexpected. And so I think, you know, we need to tune into that and, you know, to hear what God is saying and not just accept it, oh, that's a cool word, or that, yeah, that fits or doesn't fit, but to hear what God is saying consistently over a period of time to us. And then that is part of our inheritance, that God is saying this to us, this to us, this to us, and we can't ignore it. We've got to say, yes, that's it. Well, what about that church over there? No, forget about that church over there. This is what the Lord is saying to us here, and this is what we've got to be doing, and this is where we've got to be focusing.
Thank you, Mark. So let's invite Greg up now.
Praise God. I'm intrigued how God took a nation of slaves, 400 years in slavery. People have been literally whipping their backs, beating them to death, commanding them in their every move. God delivered those people. For 10 generations back, everybody in your family has been a slave. Right? God comes to those people and says, hey, I'm going to take you into a promised land. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. Everything I give you will prosper. When people come against you, I'll make them flee from you in seven directions. And when God himself is speaking to those people, what had to happen in the mind of the slave to get the slave to believe that we should actually go with Moses? You're joking. And so when it's not just about God saying, this is what I'm going to do, because if you still have the mind of a slave, you go, no. And so that's why Michelle's word this morning is very, very important. Because part of why the Lord's going, hey, 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 take off those chains. They don't belong to you. As long as I've been alive, I've gone to sleep with the sound of chains around my wrist. Yeah, but it's not the garments I gave you. Take them off. Put on this royal robe. You go, yeah, but I'm a slave. Do you understand? Most of the disqualification comes not from the circumstances, but from people who will not believe the gospel. Most of the disqualification of your life comes because the enemy seeds a lie, and because you remember what it was like under slavery, you believe the lie and you don't believe the word of God. That's why Jesus said the work is this, to believe on the one that he sends. See? Just going to let that settle a little, because I really feel like this is part of the Lord. What Michelle preached now is it's not a little side issue. It's a, you have to, by deliberate process, go, I am taking off fear. I'm taking off anxiety. I'm taking off shame. I'm taking off condemnation. They do not fit. They're no longer appropriate for me. Because if you're not careful, every morning you wake up, the enemy will be there holding you. Say, here's your robes. Go, be quiet and leave me alone. I will not wear the robes of unrighteousness. I will not wear the robes of shame. I will not be under condemnation. I will not fear. I will not wear that. I will put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Son of the Almighty God. I bear the robes of righteousness. I walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the enemy says, but you messed up. You go, yeah, but look at my robes of royal righteousness. So this is not a small thing, because we think, oh, well, this is just cute. No, if you're going to walk into your inheritance, what does God have to do in the brain of a slave to get them to go, you're in my house, get up? So this is why God displayed his arm. This is why God displayed his miracles. Because it wasn't because God was ticked with the Egyptians, wanted to slap the nation. It was because God had a task to get people who had the mind of slaves to become possessors of an inheritance. God's plan was that it would happen in 3 months. Took him out of Egypt, took him to Sinai, gave him the law, and then took him to the promised land. 3 months. Whoops. It was like, okay, go take your inheritance. And you know why they didn't take the inheritance? Not because God wouldn't have given them the land, but because their minds were not yet renewed to the truth of what God said, I'm going to give you. We're talking about the restoration of inheritance, that God said, I will reassign desolate inheritance. The inheritance that you once walked in, some of you walked in inheritance and it's now become desolate. It's now the haunt of jackals and wild owls. And God says, I'm going to reassign it to you. Hey, remember? It's yours. And when you hear that word, if you're still going to allow the old robes, if you're still going to allow your mind to stay unrenewed, then you are going to balk at that. Oh, yeah, no, these people are weird. They're just telling us, I can't believe God actually wants to bless me. But if you'll be a little bit aggressive about throwing off the rubbish and going, I'm done with that. Give me my hill country. You know the people from Moses' generation who went into the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. You know what Caleb did? Caleb, he's 85 years old. He comes up to Joshua. He goes, okay, well, the whole nation, okay, listen. He says, Joshua, the Lord promised me Hebron, the hill country, the best country. It happens to have the biggest of the giants living in it. He says, but I got that. And don't worry about the giant, Anak there. He says, don't worry about him. His bed was 9 feet by 16 feet. He's a big lad, eh? He said, don't worry about him. He said, God, 45 years ago, God promised me that's yours. Because I serve God wholeheartedly. Because when the moment came, he said, my God is bigger and the giants that exist there. Because those two men had their minds renewed, and he said, we are well able. They will be like dust under our feet. Let's go and take our country. And that, I'm ready for the inheritance. And because of the rest of the unbelief, he had to wander around for 45 years, marking time, watching them die. And when they came into the promised land, he went straight up. He said, now give me what God said, that's mine. And so they allocated it to him, and he went and took it. See, you need, what is it in the spirit of somebody that will not be a slave any longer? And you and I, every one of us, no matter how cute we are, have to renew our mind to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We We have to renew our mind so that when God says, this is yours, we go, absolutely, that's mine. That's mine. There has to come something in your spirit that borders on offense. It says, that's mine. That's my inheritance. That's my harvest. That's my house. That's my hill country. Who do you think you are? I am a blood-bought child of the living God. I am the beloved son of the Almighty. I am the one he called and commissioned to go and take that hill. Any other questions? That's my house. That's my inheritance. Those people take the kingdom. Because the kingdom, it suffers forceful advances by the enemy, and forceful people press into the kingdom. That's mine. That's mine. And it's yours. So I just wanted to touch the what God has to do in the mind of a slave to position them to be a landowner who manages wealth. Israel came in to the promised land with the wealth of Egypt. Egypt was the most prosperous nation in the world at the time. They plundered Egypt. Right? They came out, they wandered for 45 years in the desert. They couldn't use the gold in the desert. There was no stores. Their clothing never ran out anyway. They couldn't buy any food. They carted around their wealth for 40 years in the desert. They went into the promised land with all the wealth of Egypt. As God said, take 400 years my people have been slaves. I want my money. Pay me for the labor. Right? So Israel comes into the promised land wealthy. They dispossess seven other nations, so they take their wealth, wealthy. The difference between a slave who for 10 generations back has only ever heard the whiplash of slavery in his family, within one generation has the wealth of eight nations and is prospering in a land flowing with milk and honey. That is a revolution that needs to happen in his brain. Same revolution needs to happen in our hearts and minds. And this is why the gospel is so all-inclusive. This is why the gospel is not dependent on you and me. Because if the gospel is dependent on you and me, we would have this incremental growth maybe. But God has called us to take our inheritance. So I want to just look at a little bit of how they did it. Remember, we're talking first there was a natural and then there's a spiritual. Let's look at what they did in the natural. Isaiah 49, again, I will restore the land and reassign its desolate inheritances. That's quoted in 2 Corinthians 6. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Paul is always coming back to the grace of God. And he says, "For he says, in the time of favor, I've heard you, in the day of salvation, I'll help you. I tell you, now is that time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So Paul reaches back to Isaiah 49, brings it into the dispensation of grace and says, this is now manifested among us. The spiritual reality of that. Now, in the natural, there was the Jews had the Jewish nation, and God gave them a land, a certain dimension, and he said, that's your inheritance. But so that was the natural. In the spiritual, we see in Psalm 2, God says to Jesus, you can ask of me, son, and I'll give you all the nations. So Jesus said, I want it all. And so God gave all the nations to Jesus. So we're no longer chasing one little set of land. We're asking for the nations of the world. That's why Jesus said, go and disciple the nations. It's been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All the nations have been given to me. Go and disciple them. How could Jesus tell us to go and do that if he wasn't his? He goes, they're all mine. Go and teach them about me. So we have this inheritance. So we've looked at that, and I want to just take a little moment here to talk about this reality that we currently live in. How many of you know that God doesn't need my power or my wisdom? Or my effort. So everything God does, there's nothing that's withheld from his power. There's nothing that he can't do. So if God wants to co-labor with me, it seems a little futile. Because we go, let's go and attack those people. God says, okay, boom. Why don't we come solve that puzzle? He goes, okay, boom. Or, boom. Oh, what about this way? Boom. Right? So, co-laboring with God is kind of awkward because I feel a little bit like, well, what am I doing here? I'll just wander and wave, you know. And so the way God sets it up so that we co-labor with him is that he gives us the opportunity to bring what we can bring, and then he adds whatever he can bring. So we get everything I've got as well as everything God's got. So is it making sense to you? Because otherwise we would just have to sit here and God would do it all. But God says, no, I don't want it. I woke this week, saw me doing weightlifting. You know how you exercise in a gym? But if you're going to really push weights and get serious about it, you have somebody to spot for you. Right? Because about the 10th rep, your muscles are wobbling. And then you get somebody stand behind you and you can't do it anymore and they just pick it up, put it on the bar. So I saw in this vision, the Lord woke me, I saw this vision and I was carrying these heavy weights, going like this. And behind me, the vision, and it was like an 8,000-pound gorilla sitting there, spotting for me. And I was wobbling and I saw him watch and he put his fingers like this and he went, oops. And the Lord's promise to me was, he says, I'm going to send some 8,000-pound gorillas to stand next to you and help. I go, whoa, then I'm going for gold. Now I'm going for the world record. I'm like, okay. Right? Amen. Might as well go, because who wants, if you've got an 8,000-pound gorilla helping, I go, hey, do something. Now, in the same way, when God comes, he goes, I'm going to stand with you. God lets you pick up some of the weight. Why? Because he wants you to develop some muscle. So he goes, go. And you go. Then he helps. Boom, and you do it together. Does it make sense? So some people, if they don't understand this, they get knotted because they go, I'm in rest, and why isn't God doing it? Well, you have to get up and go. So God, we want all that God can do alongside all that you can do. Does that make sense to you? So God's going to say, what do you want to do? So I want us to look at Joshua 1 because Moses dies and the people are about, and this is the command the Lord gives to Joshua about how the people are supposed to go in and take their inheritance. Because it's one thing to say, oh, this is wonderful. I have a glorious inheritance. Praise God. I'm putting on the robes that Jesus gave me. I've renewed my mind. But I want to get down to where the rubber meets the road, where the banana splits. I want to get down to this place where we go, okay, how do you and how do I take our inheritance? So I want to get to Joshua 1. Let's look at how it did in the natural, and we'll make some extrapolations into the spiritual. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. And I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Stop. First principle about you getting into your inheritance is that God will give you every place you put your foot down. This means that the people crossed the Jordan. They came to rest on the other side of the Jordan. They put their feet down. And they said, this is wonderful. I want you to imagine that for 100 yards all around you in every direction, God gives you a bubble of victory. And you go, this is wonderful. Bring me a chair. And you sit down. And then for 100 yards in every direction, there's victory and joy. You go, look at this. Isn't this marvelous? The Lord says, yeah, that's great. Your hill country is over there. No, I'm happy here. He goes, but every place you put your foot, I'll give it to you. I'm happy. That's why 7 years later, 7 years later, seven of the tribes had not taken any of the land. Why? Because God said, okay, I'll do everything I can do. You do all you can do. And all they wanted to do was to put their foot down once and then sit down. And so God anointed that. There was great peace where they were sitting. It's the same in your life. Can we imagine that the principle still holds true, that every place you dare to put your foot down on, God will give it to you? He didn't say, put your foot down and there'll be no battle. He said, every place you set your foot, I will give it to you. In other words, God put it into your hands and into their hands. If you put your foot on it, I'll give it to you. Well, I'm not so sure. Well, 2.5 tribes stayed on the east bank of the Jordan because when they came through, before they got to the promised land, they destroyed all the kings in that area because they were resisting Israel. They destroyed all of them. And Manasseh and Ephraim, some of the tribes, goes, man, we really like this. Can't we have this as our inheritance? And the Lord said, okay, you want it? They go, yeah, we want it. He said, okay, great. That's your inheritance. And the people went through the Jordan, they went into the promised land, and he said, every place you put your foot down, now. Let's use this principle years later with Saul and Goliath. Saul himself is a giant, right? He stands head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel, and the anointing of God is on him. And there's Goliath. Goliath comes out and threatens, and Saul chooses not to put his foot on the ground between them. And so Saul sits down, and so Israel is, nobody dares to go out, nobody, until one young guy said, no, I'll go and take him. And this young guy starts to put his soles of his feet on the way. He starts to walk out into the face of his giant. He goes, he starts to walk at him. And when he starts to walk at him, the power of God starts to come with him. And so for 100 yards all around him, God's going to give him victory. And so he has to narrow the gap between him and Goliath so that's less than 100 yards. Because he wants Goliath in his zone of victory. Right? You can't sit on this mountaintop and shout at Goliath on the other side. You have to walk towards Goliath. That requires faith. That requires you to put your foot down on something. And half the people of God never walk into their inheritance because they're too petrified of putting their foot down in a direction because they go, but there's giants out there. Well, yeah, there are giants out there. Of course there are giants. Giants always take the best place. God always promises you the best place. Of course there are giants. Then go and take him. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that. So he said, no. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, from the Hittite country, etc., etc. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. A little while later, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So this is the promise. God says, listen. Listen to me, Israel, look, I will be with you. Where do you want to go? Wherever you go, I will be with you. And wherever you put your foot, I'll give that to you. Where do you want to go? It can't be that simple. It can't be that easy. Because the day will come, friends, when you have to decide, that's my inheritance. That hill country is mine. God gave it to me. There are riches of depths of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, the Bible says the church is the foundation and pillar of truth in this world. There are, oh, the riches of the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his ways, but he'll reveal it to you by his Spirit. And so you need a business solution. It's time for you to step up and say, that's my hill country. That's mine. Father, I'm trusting you. I'm putting my foot down on business solutions. I need creative financial miracles. I need business ideas. I need ways to work with people. I need staffing solutions. I need the wisdom. It is my inheritance. All the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God are mine, available. I have the mind of Christ. I'm taking my hill country. Every place you put your foot on, I'll give it to you. Right? Now, this is what the Lord says. 4 times, 1 chapter. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of great courage. Only be strong and courageous. Why? Because if you're weak and wimpy, you'll sit down and I'll give you a bubble of victory 100 yards around where you're sitting. But if you're strong and courageous and you dare to march out and look a giant in the eyes, I'm coming for you. They're going to threaten. They're going to bluster. They're going to bang their spears against their shield. They're going to go, wah! And the closer you get, the more noise they're going to make. And God will give them into your hands. Because you put, He said, I'll give you every place you put your foot on. And so the problem with inheritance is not that God has not been clear about it. The problem is that our minds are not renewed and we don't have enough courage. And this is why, friends, that the massive press of the enemy is to discourage the church, to steal the courage from you, because the enemy knows that he cannot resist you. You hear that? The enemy knows he cannot resist you. The whole of creation knows certain things. All of creation, apart from the church of the time. The rest of creation is really clear. The whole of creation, the Bible says, is groaning, longing to see the revelation of the sons of light. The church. When the church gets it, that's what the creation's waiting for, because the church has the authority to unlock creation. When Jesus came, a star appeared. And hovered over Jerusalem, Bethlehem. When Jesus died, it went dark for 3 hours. Now, an eclipse of the sun lasts 7 minutes, the total eclipse. Went dark for 3 hours. Why? Creation was going, man, creation. He died, the earth shook. All creation understands who he is, what's going on. You think the devil doesn't know? In Jesus' name, if you'll step forward and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm submitted to my God. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. He will run screaming from you. But he's the father of lies, and he's the chief deceptor, and so he's not going to pretend. He's going to pretend like, ah, you can't, I've owned this for years. You can't take this land. And just requires somebody with the guts to walk at him and say, in the name of Jesus, this is mine, and you are gone. It's mine, mine, my country. This is my harvest. That's my house. This is my inheritance. It requires a David to walk out against a Goliath. Or the female equivalent of David. So he said, here's the principle. Principle number one, every place you dare to put your foot. If you'll dare to put your foot down, can be yours. You have to know, what helps that is you know he's an ever-present and caring God. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. If, see, after a while of just sitting still and not, and being inactive, not pressing, what happens is, the enemy goes, they're not coming at me. Well, let's start attacking them. Next thing you know, your little circle is people encroaching on you. Go, oh, I'm scared if I go. No, if you're going to be scared sitting still or scared facing Goliath, I'd rather be scared facing Goliath. If you're going to be in a battle, you might as well be in one that you charged. He said, be careful to keep this book of the law always on your lips, in your mind. Let it inform. Let's let the word of God. You know what's fascinating to me? And we're going to get to it tonight. The way they got their inheritance was out of the presence of the Lord. The Lord himself assigned the inheritance to them. That the Spirit of God led them into the promised land. And so now the people are having to have this book of the law. That's why the Lord says to Joshua, listen, I want you to meditate on this word. I want my word. I want the word of God to be informing you. Right? And then, lastly, and I'm closing with this, because I don't want to be too long now. In verse 12 of Joshua 1, he says, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, those were the 2.5 tribes that had chosen to keep their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. He said, your wives and your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you on the east of the Jordan. But all of your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have had taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Only be strong and courageous. Fascinating concept. Israel, the whole of Israel comes up across their land. The kings come out to fight them. All of Israel stand together. They defeat those kings. Those 2.5 tribes say, we want this as an inheritance. The Lord says, you can have it. They go, great, this is wonderful. Help, bless you guys, hope it goes well. God says, not going to know. Your wives and your kids can go and live in the houses, but the fighting men cross over first into the new promised land. Because if you've had your breakthrough in inheritance, you now have a responsibility to help those who are not yet broken through. It's not, hey guys, thanks, appreciate the help, bless you, hope it goes. Why? Because then the last tribe who's been fighting for the other 11 tribes to get their inheritance, and everyone else settles. Now the last tribe is going to fight their own. You know, oh, gee, that's not so much fun. They said, no. We take our inheritance. We take our inheritance. And you may have had breakthrough. See, there's some people who have breakthrough in healing. They've seen healings. You go, me and my family are healthy. That's wonderful. And you go over there and pray for them. Oh, no, those people, they're ugly things. They must trust God themselves. You go, well, yeah. But when you were sick, we all prayed for you. We all fasted, and you had victory. And now, well, those ugly things, they must sign up. They must believe. Well, why don't you go over there and pray? You had breakthrough financially? Those ugly things, they should work harder. Well, no, maybe you should listen to the Holy Spirit, because you need to cross over ahead of them. He didn't say just go and help them. He said, you guys have already had your inheritance. You're the first in the battle. You're the first in the line. Maybe you've had some financial breakthrough. Ah, you know that. No, well, maybe it's time for you to step up and help the rest of us. Didn't ring any bell. It went really quiet there suddenly. Okay, stop these illustrations. Let's not do any more of these. Maybe hearing the voice of God is where you've had breakthrough. You know, Wednesday night, Michelle spoke a word about the gift of prophecy. And one of the greatest beauties of the gift of prophecy is why the Bible says everybody should require it, is it because it encourages people. The enemy wants to discourage people. The gift of prophecy will blow fire into your belly. It encourages you in the call of God. And so we need to be prophesying to one another. There are some of you who have broken through in hearing the voice of God. Then you should come to church with 5 words every week. Well, why should I always prophesy? Because the fighting people who've reached an inheritance go over first and help the rest of us into our inheritance. So, what are you going to dare to put your foot on? I want to say it. I said it last night, but I believe with all my heart that there is an assignment for this church in God. There is an inheritance God has assigned you in Israel. And you don't have to walk in it. It is going to require fighting. It is going to require courage. But it is a land flowing. Rich streams and milk and honey and beautiful vineyards and wonderful homes and beautiful prosperity. For you as a family, there is an inheritance God has marked out for you. I love the scripture in Deuteronomy. There need be no poor among you, for in the land of the inheritance that the Lord your God has given you, I will prosper you. God's intent is prosperity in your inheritance. He said, now you can choose to be poor if you want, but there's no need for anybody to be poor. Isn't that frightening? Now, if you want to embrace the mind of a slave, that will offend you. If you'll throw away the mind of a slave and put on the mind of a son, yeah, of course. Because a son understands, my father prospers me, not so that I can just wallow in the prosperity, but I can get about the mission he called me to. The mission God called me to requires millions of dollars. I'm trusting the Lord right now for $18 million, for an $18 million building. I want them to give it to me. Because he said, if you don't put your foot on it, it's not yours. I'm walking around it. I go, I need you to give me this building. And I'm trusting that the people who owe those people money are going to give me $1 million so I can build it out. That's what I'm trusting the Lord for. $19 million is my ask for my new building. Because the Lord said, I've got an 8,000-pound gorilla standing behind you. I go, well, then let's go for it. 19. I can pay the first $100. You take the rest. You want to walk in your inheritance. It's not a small issue, this. Friends, I'm telling you. I'm preaching. I'm not lying here. My conscience confirms it in the spirit. I'm telling you the truth. What I'm teaching you today is true. But you have to get rid of the mind of a slave, because the mind of a slave will stop you walking into all your inheritance. But I promise you, I believe under God that there is a riches of a glorious inheritance for you and the saints. Incomparable, unbelievable, untapped, the unsearchable riches of Christ, as the scripture says, that is yours to swim in for the rest of your life. And God didn't mean for me to spend it on my pleasures. But unless I start stepping into the hill country that he promised me, I'll never walk in all the destiny of God. There are things that God has prepared in advance for you to do, and some of those on the other side of your promised land. Some of the things that God has called you to do are going to require you to act like royalty and not like a slave. So dare to put your foot down. You know what I like about this sermon? Is that I don't have to do the heavy lifting. Because I know the Holy Spirit has already started. Last night, the Holy Spirit already started whispering to you, testifying to your spirit. This is, and some of you know the Holy Spirit's already told you. You're already feeling that stirring in your spirit. You already know. This is true for me. Know that he's ever present and ever caring. I'll never leave you. If you want to sit here, I'll sit here with you. You want to take the hill country? Let's go take it. I'll not leave you. But I'm going to do all that I can alongside all you can. So what do you want to do? I want to sit here. Okay? I'll enable you to sit here beautifully. I want to kill that giant. Well, I'll go and slap him with you. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. It's going to need courage. You remember the early church? They go and preach. The Sanhedrin call them in. They say, now, don't you dare preach in Jesus' name. They whip them. Send them out. Peter and John. And Peter and John, I think, still bleeding. Still dripping on the carpet. Call the church together. Hey, guys, come here. Said, this is what they did. Now, let's pray together. It says, and they said, Lord, stretch out your hand. And do more miracles. And show us signs and wonders in the name of Jesus Christ. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they all spoke the word of God with great boldness. Why? Because the anointing of God said, here's some boldness for the church. And they went out and preached everywhere. The church, the inheritance, requires boldness. But my righteous one, if he or she shrinks back, I find no joy in that, says the Lord. There's no benefit in that. God's word, presence of the Lord, listening to his voice, a big stinking deal right now. It's a big stinking deal. Because the old mind of the slave is going to start wanting to, hey, no, let me explain to you, that's beyond your boundaries. You're not allowed in that side of the house. That's for the masters. Okay, no, no. I'm not only allowed in that door, I own the door. And those who have breakthrough must be on the front line until we've all taken possession of all. I guarantee you, there are areas where you have had breakthrough. Guaranteed. Don't ever stop using it. Become proficient at it. Get your black belt in it, whatever it is. Become brilliant at it. If it's hearing the voice of God, hear for everybody. If it's healing, heal everybody. If it's financial breakthrough, pray for everybody. If it's revelation, share it with everybody. If it's intercessionary prayer, pray for us all. Whatever God gives you, because he's going to give you something, guaranteed. You go ahead in that area on our behalf. Say, well, Greg, can you give me an idea of what specifically is my inheritance? No. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Ephesians 1:3 says, you in Jesus Christ were given every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? Anything you can think of was given to you. That's one of the points. It's a little hard. So let me just tell you, God gave you grace in Jesus. The Bible says incomparable riches of grace. You were chosen in him. He's made his light shine in your heart. You died. You were buried. You were crucified. He made you alive. You were circumcised. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were raised with Christ. You've been seated with him in heavenly places. You've been marked in him with a seal. And you've been called to eternal glory. That all happened when you said yes. All of those riches happened when you believed. It's just, and it's done. You don't have to try and attain it. That's yours. Then he gave you every spiritual blessing. He gave you fullness in Christ. He gave you eternal life as a gift. He called you a child and a co-heir. You've been called to righteousness, peace, and joy. You have access to God's wisdom. You have the mind of Christ. He gave you the Holy Spirit to guide you. The Spirit of the Lord, of wisdom, of understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord all abide and dwell in you. He empowers you to walk well, and he surrounded you with other believers. In broad strokes, we haven't got to the heals all your diseases, cleanses all of your sins, redeems your life from the pit, breaks every curse off your life, empowers you, indwells you, and is one with you so that you can fellowship with Father and Son. Which part of that seems wonderful to you right now? Now put your foot on it. Well, I don't see enough power in my life. Well, go take that hill country. Say, Father, I'm walking. I need power. I want to be indwelled. I want to be endued with power from on high. I want to see the power of God break through in healing. I want to see demons running away. I want to see people emotionally delivered from all the knots in their string. Well, then go put your foot on that. Go and knock on the door of heaven and keep knocking until God says, okay, yes, son, this is yours. Here's the hill country. How much do you want? I want these 100 acres. Can I have it all? So which part of your inheritance do you want to put your foot on? What has the Holy Spirit been emphasizing to you? And who are you helping with their inheritance? Just three questions to close. Which part of your inheritance do you want to put your foot on? What has the Holy Spirit been emphasizing in the last 2 days? And who are you helping with their inheritance? Choose somebody in some area. Pick one. I'm going to help so-and-so hear from God. You know what I did the other day? I journaled for one of my elders. I sat down and said, Lord, speak to me about him. I began to journal. I journaled this whole thing, sent him an email. By the way, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying to you. Why? Because I'm ahead of him in that area. I sent some money to some people the other day. Why? Because I'm ahead of them in that area. I went to encourage somebody the other day. Speak life into them. Call out their destiny and calling. Why? Because I'm ahead of them in that area. Let's pray together. Lord, it's so wonderful that everything you have is available to me. And so, Lord, in return, we give everything we have, make it available to you. Everything we are and everything you are, co-laboring, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. Simply, Lord, we know that that's not even a fair deal, not even in any way you look at it. But we cannot, Lord, but say thank you that our name is linked with yours. How beautiful, Lord, and how extravagant, how wonderful that at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, grand victory was ours. No wonder the earth shook, Lord. Earth could not bear the Creator dying. I ask, Lord, for courage upon this church and in these hearts and minds. I ask for a new day of courage, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for a grand passion in the heart of this people. Say, hey, that's mine. Thank you, Lord, that not one of them will stand to be dispossessed a minute longer. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've already been stirring in each of our hearts. You've already been talking to us, Lord. How faithful are you? Now, Lord, I pray you'd speak to each person about who we should help.